You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
5. Welcome in to a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We welcome you in and thank you very much for tuning into the program here today. Got a great show for you. Bob Herrig's going to join us to talk golf. PGA Championship coming up next week. One of the signature events, number 6 of the season going on right now at Quail Hollow. It is the Wells Fargo Invitational. And we will talk about all things golf with Bob Herrig coming up in the back half of the program. As we closed up shop yesterday, we had the news coming down about a new quarterback joining the Iowa football team, Brendan Sullivan, transferring in from just up the road in Evanston and the Northwestern Wildcats. We will talk about what that means for Sullivan, what that means for the Iowa football program with you on the program here today. 319-366-1600. That is the phone line today. 319-366-1600. We have our temporary text line going on right now. Maybe we should file 78 complaints against the no, I'm kidding. Yeah. You know why I said 78, right, Andrew?
No,
I will explain coming up in just a little bit. By the way, say hi to Andrew, everyone.
Hello.
And Andrew says hi to you back, our producer here today. Mark Dukes from his back porch on the southwest side on this overcast and somewhat drizzly Thursday afternoon in eastern Iowa. How you doing, Mark?
Doing great, Scott, Andrew, everyone out there. I have no complaints.
So you're not the Indiana Pacers.
nor their coach.
No. We'll get to that. We'll get to that coming up because it's so insane that it is funny. It is a funny situation. We will get to that coming up in just a little bit. We do have the temporary text line going on again here today on the program. 319-200-2696. 319-200-2696. So jot that down on to the right of your desk, or if you're at home working, or on a napkin, whatever you need to do to keep it handy, 200-2696. That is the temporary text line here today as we go through a Thursday here on local programming on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6. Also, we have another opportunity for someone to get signed up to possibly win 4 tickets to the Indianapolis 500 coming up 2 weeks from Sunday, as we will have another edition of Indianapolis 500 trivia for you. That'll be coming up before 4 o'clock here today. And Mark, just let me get this out of the way. First of all, Mark's a happy camper today because the home run sausage came through again today. 11-1, your Twins knocked off the Seattle Mariners. Good win in double digits for your ball club today.
Yeah, against a pretty good team in Seattle. Not a great team, but a pretty good team. And the Twins take 3 out of 4 at home. And another series win in May, and things are going well. Pedro Lopez Day, and he pitched very good. Now it's off to Toronto.
Off to Toronto, north of the border. Before we get to the Brendan Sullivan, 78, I mentioned that to Andrew, and why we mentioned that is the Indiana Pacers have officially filed with the NBA league office 78 different complaints. 78 different complaints about officiating calls in the first 2 games of their series against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Now, I could see one. Now, granted, we talked about this the other day. One of the calls in game one, which I thought was pretty egregious. There was another one last night that was pretty egregious. You're going to get that. Mm-hmm. Understand, especially when you're the road team. But I can see you filing those, you know, complaints there, calling the league, whatever you need to do. And it's not going to get changed. We know that. But, okay, we messed this up. We apologize. We will try to do better in the next game. You can see two or three. But when you do 78 of those, then you lose all credibility.
Yeah, how many of those actually overlap and probably should just be one less than 78?
Move maybe 10. Maybe eight.
Yeah, exactly.
But
there's no need. There's no need for even over 10. Over 10, you're doing way too much.
Mark, they lost. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? 78 complaints to the league office in two games about officiating.
It is 29 from game one, 49 from game two. And what's the point? I understand. Indiana coach Rick Carlisle and his staff goes through game film, and instead of deciding how to beat the New York Knicks and getting back into the series, which the Pacers trailed 2-0, they're more concerned about all these officiating calls, which nothing will be done by the NBA. You're not going to replay the game. I mean, the NBA might acknowledge a couple calls that were wrong. They could do that every game. But to me, it's kind of sour grapes. Whether Carlisle is right or not about 78 or any number thereof of bad calls, man, you got to concentrate on how to beat the Knicks.
Exactly. And they've had two very, very spirited games with New York. It's a great series, and it's good to see that rivalry revisited. Ben Stiller doing things behind Reggie Miller on television last night. I thought that was interesting. Anyway, text line again, 319-200-2696, if you would like to weigh in as far as that is concerned. But we got a quarterback to talk about, as Brendan Sullivan is Iowa Hawkeye, the former Northwestern signal caller with 2 years of eligibility remaining. Mark, this came down as we were closing up Caddy Smack in the gym class yesterday talking golf with you, but the 6'3", 225-pounder who did play against Iowa, obviously, has basically been the quarterback the last couple of years for Northwestern, completing 69% of his passes last year, 1,303 yards, 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, ran for 257 yards and 2 touchdowns as well in the last couple of seasons. And I think a big get for Iowa. If you're a Hawkeye fan and you were looking into the quarterback derby, I know General Booty out there was, you know, just for the name, was a whole lot of fun, and people were kind of interested in that young man. But I think as far as experience is concerned, not only being experienced as far as, you know, quarterbacking a Big Ten and a Power 5 then, Power 4 now, football team, but also a guy that Tim Lester recruited when he was the head coach at Western Michigan, a guy that Tim Lester believes that can come in and run this offense effectively if needed. And we will get people's opinions about that coming up here in just a moment. But if you're the Hawkeyes, if you're Kirk Ferentz, I think he hit a home run with this one.
Yeah, the timing of the news was not great for us, but Spencer did a great job bringing everybody up to date on the story and garnering opinions. And the main thing I would say is it's clearly an upgrade. Deacon Hill gone, Tommy Pohulski gone, and Sullivan with starting experience, a lot of experience, not only in major college football, but the Big Ten. I think that's important. His relationship, such as it is with Tim Lester, and I don't think he was brought in to start. if he ends up doing so, that'd be great. By the way, Kirk Ferentz had an appearance in Clinton today for a fundraiser, told the crowd that Cade McNamara is a quote-unquote full go by June and does not have much concern over McNamara's status. So what you have is McNamara, who was clearly brought in to run this team starting last year before he got hurt, and now this year. But Sullivan, like I said, is an upgrade to the quarterback room. The only thing I wonder, and I think you do too, how does Marco Lyonnais feel? He started the bowl game, did okay. And now he apparently is shoved down to the third string. Where does that leave him?
Yeah, I could see a scenario where Marco Lyonnais goes, okay, you brought another guy in. And Iowa was forced to. Let's be honest. Hawkeyes had to bring in a quarterback. I mean, a three-year gap between the number one and the backup. You just don't have that anymore in college football. You're going to have a quarterback room with at least three or four in there, maybe even more. So Iowa needed to get another body in there. Maybe Lyonnais did not expect Brendan Sullivan to come in. Maybe somebody like a General Booty, who has not taken a snap, basically, in big-time college football as of yet. He could compete with him, you know, for the next few years, as far as Iowa's quarterback position is concerned. But now you've got a Sullivan who comes in with starting experience. You've got Cade McNamara, who has starting experience, but has been spotty on the field, at least dodging injuries for the last few years. And is there a quarterback battle in Iowa City? 319-200-2696 on the text line. If you would like to weigh in, again, 319-200-2696. That is the temporary text line going on today. What are your thoughts out there about Lyonnais, about Sullivan coming in? Do you think there's going to be a quarterback competition? For me, Mark, I say no. I think it's Cade McNamara's. Now, if Cade McNamara goes through fall drills and Brendan Sullivan clearly outplays him, we'll see. That's not really been the MO over the years for Kirk Ferentz. Once he has a guy, he basically sticks with him unless he just plays himself out of that quarterbacking job, and that has happened on a couple of different occasions. But Sullivan brings a lot to the table.
Well, he does, and I think McNamara does too, although this guy really hasn't played significantly since 2021 when he led Michigan to the Big Ten championship game and the victory. The last couple of years have been, hit and miss. He got hurt last year. We really don't know what Cade McNamara is going to look like. We think he's going to be pretty good, but we don't know, especially in a new offense. And I think Brendan Sullivan is a good pickup. Maybe he'll compete for the starting job. I think it's McNamara's to run with. And there is another quarterback in the room, James Reeser. He's a freshman. I think he's going to redshirt anyway, whether Sullivan came in or not. I think it's a good security blanket for this offense.
I think that's a good way to put it, a security blanket for the offense out there. Again, text line, temporary text line, 319-200-2696. 7098 on the text line says McNamara is the starting quarterback, period, until he gets hurt. You don't obviously wish that upon anyone out there, but there is that situation. There is a little bit of a track record out there. And like you said, Reeser coming in and definitely – a guy into his first year in the system, I don't think Kirk Ferentz wants that to come down the line. But I think McNamara is going to be the starter. I mean, I don't see a scenario outside of an injury, unless what I talked about that, okay, McNamara, Sullivan just wows people in fall camp. Just absolutely wows people. Knocks their socks off. Maybe there's some situations where they bring in a Sullivan as far as some special sets of plays that Tim Lester will like to run with a quarterback that's got some ability to get out of the pocket and run. Who knows? You always have that scenario out there. So with Sullivan coming in, I think Iowa's got a pretty good hold now on the quarterback room. Three pretty good quarterbacks in there, although Linez, he has not been on the field a whole lot other than the end of the bowl game last year. Spring football going through drills kind of hand in hand, although 1B, I would imagine, with Deacon Hill. So you got Sullivan's coming in as a starter. You've got Cade McNamara, who's been a starter, and you've got Linez, who's got some game action. I think your quarterback room has gone up if you're Iowa.
Oh, definitely. So I said at the outset it was an upgrade, and it is. I don't think there's much comparison between the abilities of Sullivan and Deacon Hill. Deacon Hill won a lot of games thanks to Iowa's defense and a couple of pretty decent performances. But Sullivan's got 2 years left of eligibility, and he's a competitor. He's going to come in and thinking he can compete to win the job, and that'll just make McNamara that much better and the other quarterbacks. So Sullivan was fairly effective against Iowa last year, 12 out of 19, only 81 yards, but did throw a touchdown pass, one of the few that Iowa allowed last year. So, again, that familiarity, not only with Iowa but with the Big Ten, I think is an asset.
And he, let's face it, he played for a Northwestern team that really struggled. Now, maybe you blame that on Sullivan a little bit. I don't know. But it's a Northwestern program that, of course, had the coaching change and had a lot of things in the background last year. Now, 77-06 with a very good point. If they don't figure out that O-line, it could be trouble. It could be trouble next year. So I would agree on that. But you take a look at that offensive line, and even without Mr. Proctor, who was there for a month and a half or so, it's still a line with a lot of experience. And it's about time for this line to really, really come together. And that's going to be the biggest question going into fall camp. Can that line solidify themselves and protect Cade McNamara and or Brendan Sullivan, or whoever is back there at quarterback?
Well, we've been saying this for 2 years, I think. You can have whatever quarterback you want back there, Spencer Petras or Deacon Hill or whoever it may be. Yes, part of it is the schemes that Brian Ferentz had, but you're only as good as your offensive line. And I'm reminded of, a team's got a lot of experience coming back at a certain position or positions, but experience coming back from what? One of the most, ineffective offenses in college football history last year.
Last 2 years, to be brutally honest. 319-200-2696 on the text line. 319-200-2696, our temporary text line out there for you as we talk a little bit about the Iowa quarterbacking situation. Bob Herrig's going to join us coming up here in just a little bit, and we will preview the PGA coming up next week in Louisville, Kentucky. And we'll do that with Bob coming up. We'll also give you a chance to get into the drawing for the four Indianapolis 500 tickets before 4 o'clock today. So keep that in the back of your mind right here on the Gym Class as we take you through a Thursday edition of the program. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up in just a little bit as well. And like I said, I think this solidifies things. Iowa still can go out and pick up some folks as far as the transfer portal is concerned. I think that Iowa is still on the lookout for a wide receiver. You're not going to turn anyone down if they do show interest in you. A couple of the wide receiver targets that Iowa had did go elsewhere. And if they can bring in somebody else before the whole transfer portal kind of closes up, if you will, so be it. And it would help Sullivan and or Cade McNamara back there. And yeah, it's June, so you're looking at maybe 3 weeks, Mark, before full go for at least going through conditioning and all the strength programs at the Power Five programs and all of the programs around college football go through before fall camp comes up.
Well, that's at least what Kirk Ferentz said today, excuse me, in Clinton, as I mentioned earlier, and Cade McNamara full go by June, and there isn't much concern about his situation, and I'm sure that was met well with Iowa fans. I have no reason to doubt Kirk Ferentz. Proof's in the pudding come August and September, though.
Very much so. Very much so. 319-200-2696. That is our text line. We're going to talk to Bob Herrig coming up here in just a few minutes. And before that, we'll bridge the gap with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. And it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. You can check out their incredible lineup at emilshideaway.com. They're a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining room that they have over there at Emil's. Plus, they have catering, online ordering, and curbside pickup and delivery. Again, emilshideaway.com is the website. And what do we got going on today?
Yeah, limited slate in Major League Baseball. A couple, three afternoon games. We mentioned Minnesota defeating Seattle 11-1 to take 3 out of 4 from the Mariners. Another final in the books, Arizona won at Cincinnati 5-4. Also in progress right now, Colorado leading San Francisco 7-1 in the fifth inning. Everything else getting on, getting underway a little later. The Big Ten softball tournament in Iowa City yesterday and again today. Indiana, the number 8 seed, has upset the number 1 seed Northwestern in the quarterfinals 4-3. Iowa did not qualify for this tournament. Former Iowa wide receiver Jacob Bostic has decided he's going to continue his career at Texas A&M. And the Iowa women have added 3 non-conference games to their schedule. Those opponents, all at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, will be Northern Illinois, Toledo, and Washington State. Toledo was 27-6 last year. Washington State, 21-15.
Also, the Indiana Fever will play their second preseason game. That will be coming up this evening. They will be at home to take on Atlanta. Speculation out of Indianapolis, and I don't know why there was speculation, because I think the Fever, in fact, I know the Fever are not home during Memorial Day weekend, but there was all kinds of speculation that Caitlin Clark was going to be the pace car driver, the celebrity pace car driver for the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. She will not be. She will not be.
Why not?
Well, if they have a game out of town, there's a good reason. I have to check the schedule here just to make sure. I know they are not at home during the Memorial Day weekend, so I will check that out coming up. Also, coming up at the top of the hour, 4 o'clock, the Mount Mercy baseball team is going to find out their where they will play and who they will play in the national tournament, the NAIA national tournament. They're going to have a watch party, Mark, that is going to go on at the Rendernecht Athletic Center administrative offices. So Jack Dom and his Mustangs are going to find out who they will play coming up at the top of the hour.
Yeah, and a great story there from Mount Mercy. Also, the American Rivers Conference tournament going on out at Veterans Memorial Stadium. I believe Coe is on the field right now.
Okay, very good. 3:30, we're going to take a break, come back. Bob Herrig is going to join us, and we will preview the PGA Championship coming up next week and talk golf with you with Bob Herrig, and we'll do it coming up right after this. You're listening to the Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have clouds and some showers here and there through the rest of the day into this evening. Rain will gradually move out and clouds will gradually clear as well. Temperatures will drop down into the low 40s. Then tomorrow we'll have sunny skies and temperatures will rise back into the mid and upper 60s. We'll have a chance for some scattered storms in the evening tomorrow, and then we'll be dry as we head into the upcoming weekend with temperatures coming back through the 70s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Have you ever seen a painting you love? Like a beautiful landscape with majestic snow-capped mountains, deep green pine trees surrounding a tall rock ledge, with a waterfall falling into a deep blue lake? I always wished I could paint scenes like that, but I had no talent and couldn't even draw a stick figure. But my life changed when I learned a simple 400-year-old technique from the old masters. In no time at all, I was doing beautiful paintings, thanks to PaintByNote.com.
Hi, my name is Eric Rhodes, inventor of the PaintByNote system. I had no talent, yet today my paintings are selling in art galleries. With my PaintByNote method, I can teach anyone to paint. I've taught thousands, and I can teach you too. I guarantee it. Soon, you'll be impressing your friends with your beautiful paintings. I'd like to give you a free lesson to prove it. No credit card required. Just go to PaintByNote.com. Like a music note, paint by note. For your free lesson, go to paintbynote.com.
You ever have one of those days when you just couldn't come up with the right answer? Well, I know one answer that pretty much solves all problems. Ice cream. Yeah, it's the answer to everything, right? And right now, at Quickstar, our rich, creamy, straight from our dairy, Nature's Touch 1 gallon pails of ice cream are just $4.99. Yeah, now that's an answer worth digging into. Come on. Be a problem solver. Bring home some fresh, delicious Nature's Touch ice cream. Only from Quickstar.
Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour.
I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is rough. I don't know if you've been there in a while. They look like they're trying to go to business and they can't.
All new material.
They filed for bankruptcy and they're still open. They called Blockbuster and they're like, how do you get out? We want out.
Nate Bargatze, June 13th, Alliant Energy Powerhouse. Tickets available at creventslive.com. Don't miss Nate Bargatze, the Be Funny Tour.
Just in time for grilling season, 1600 ESPN is giving you the chance to fill your freezer full of meat with our Meet and Greet contest. Today's winning code word is SMOKE. S-M-O-K-E, smoke. Enter that right now at kgymradio.com for a chance to win $500 in meat. Plus, you'll also be entered for a chance at $5,000 as part of a national giveaway. Again, enter the word smoke right now at kgymradio.com for a chance to win.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
You've got it all planned. Spring cleaning, then off to the landfill and recycling building on Saturday, right? Hang on. You need an appointment if you're coming Saturday. Don't have one? No dice, pal. So plan ahead with a Saturday appointment or bring your stuff to the landfill and recycling building on County Home Road Monday through Friday between 7 and 4. You never need an appointment on weekdays. Simplify spring cleaning. Visit the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency weekdays or make your Saturday appointment early. Details at solidwasteagency.org.
Back at 3:34 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. Just to clear things up here, the Indiana Fever, they are, let's see, the Saturday of Memorial Day. They are in Vegas, by the way, to take on Kate Martin, Megan Gustafson, Kia Stokes, and the Las Vegas Aces, and then back home on Tuesday. So they would be traveling, and that would be a tough ask to get Caitlin back to do the celebrity pace car for the Indy 500. So that is why she is not doing that. There you go. 319-200-2696. That is the text line right now as we get ready to talk some golf with you. And we welcome in our friend Bob Herrig, author and also golf writer for Sports Illustrated, at Bob Herrig on X or Twitter, whichever you prefer, joining us live from Quail Hollow at Charlotte, a wet Quail Hollow for the Wells Fargo. And Bob, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And they're playing golf today.
They are, and it's fine out there now. And there's a lot to not like about some of these designated events in small fields, but when you have a rain delay, a small field actually works out pretty well because they'll probably get the whole round in today.
And that they will. And the course taking on a lot of water there. I think they're playing lift, clean, and place today, but they redid all 18 of the greens after the Wells Fargo last year, really in anticipation, I think, for next year's PGA, which is going to be held in Charlotte. But they are still very, very difficult, and that course is still very, very tough.
Yeah, you're right. They did it because next year the PGA is coming here. And whenever you redo greens, that especially in the early stages, they're going to be pretty firm. And even though we got a good amount of rain overnight and into this morning, you're still seeing that. You're seeing some bounce in these greens. And you know, in a way, that's a good thing. I mean, I know that that's probably not ideal from an agronomy standpoint. They want them to be firm naturally, you know, due to dryness and the elements. But, you know, if they were too soft, when it rains like this, these guys would be eating it up. And as it is, they're still shooting a lot of good scores. But you know, the course is certainly, it's got its tough spots. They've had a tour event here for 20 years. It's become one of the favorites of a lot of players, and there's a reason why it's getting its second major next year.
Bob, I wondered if you'd discuss the latest on the PGA Tour policy board, with the stories about Rory and Webb Simpson blowing in the wind. And it's pretty interesting to me. Other people may not even know much about the policy board and how much power it has. So what do you have on that?
Yeah, listen, you know, I mean, I'm starting to wonder if they're making it up as they go along here a little bit. A lot has changed in a year. You know, I mean, they a year ago, there was 5 player directors on the board. And then in the aftermath and look, you know, the players deserve representation on that board. It's their tour. And I think they frankly felt they were underrepresented. And especially in the aftermath of that secret deal that the tour made with, the public investment fund, which has still not come to fruition, by the way, almost a year later. But in response to that, they kind of overcorrected, I believe. You know, they put Tiger on the board without any kind of governance. They just put him on, you know, and there's supposed to be a process. He's got no term limit. Everybody else has 3-year term limits, and they're staggered. And then they made the sort of, I would say fairly significant decision that no deal will be made without the players signing off on it, you know? And so the players all of a sudden have a lot of power in terms of what might go down with this public investment fund and getting a deal with them. And, you know, there appears to be a lot of different views on that and some strong-willed people who don't want a deal. And Rory, as we've seen and as has been talked about, and he's made mention of, he wants a deal. He was very, very anti-LIV, pro PGA Tour, and I don't think he's in favor of LIV to any degree now. But once there was that word out there that they had made this framework deal, Rory's attitude became, I'd rather try to join with them than try to beat them. In other words, we're better having them with us than against us. And he's been spouting that for a long time now, and he's frustrated that nothing's happened. You know, there's a lot of people, I think, that hold that view. And yet here we are all this time later. You know, the tour's made another private equity deal with Strategic Sports Group, which is all fine and good, but they're not the group that's trying to take away your players to play in a different league. And, you know, I mean, I think the easy way to sum it up is it's a mess.
Yeah, it is still a mess to this point. And speaking of Rory, off to a really good start today. Do you think this is all weighed on Rory's shoulders? Was world number one. Scottie Scheffler has obviously taken over that in the last few months, in the last couple years. Do you think this is weighed on Rory's shoulders?
I think at times it has, but, you know, last year when some of this stuff was going on, he played some really good golf. You know, I think in some ways it's focused him in. The reason he got off the board in November was I think he felt like it was starting to bog him down too much and he needed to concentrate on his life and on his golf. And yet as time has gone by and as nothing's gotten done, I think he felt like, well, man, maybe I want to get back involved. That's not going to happen, but I have a feeling he's still going to have a strong voice in all of this.
Well, after all this time, Bob, and I don't want to belabor the point, but why hasn't a deal been reached?
Well, I think part of it has to do with they put a lot of effort into that SSG deal. I mean, I'm sure that's not simple, you know, and putting that together was important too because they needed something even if they didn't have the PIF, you know. And so I think that became their first priority. I think they saw that as a way to get some negotiating power with the PIFs. Like, in other words, hey, look, you know, we don't really need all your money. You know, and so that might have given them a sense of some strength. And also that was sort of viewed as the PIF might want to deal with some of those people. There's some heavy hitters. And that, if you know anything about the public investment fund, it is a very, very well-diversified foreign wealth fund that has a lot of worldwide interests. And, well, you know, you've got some big hitters in SSG who are outside of golf. And maybe there would be investment opportunity for them there. You know, but I also think that they're just far apart on their ideas. I think the tour people thought that if Liv came in and was the PIF came in and was part of the PGA Tour, that they would diminish Liv. And I think they're finding out that the PIF wants to keep Liv. All right, well, now how do you do that? You know, like, do you fold it in somehow? I mean, do players get to do both? Or are they separate, but, you know, a separate tour still, but guys can go back and forth? Or do they have some other outside competition for everybody to play together? Like, all these things have been, like, kind of tossed around, but no – there doesn't really seem to be any in the weeds like discussions about how that might get done. And, you know, it almost sounds like they're nowhere. And so, well, you know, these things don't have to come together in a day. Now, there's a lot to sort out there. And the longer it takes, the more the game remains divided, you know. And, you know, no matter where you stand on the whole Liv thing, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was great that Bryson DeChambeau was in contention at the Masters. You know, do we not want that? Do we not want him being part of golf in a bigger sense? Do we only want to see him four times a year outside of Liv? And, you know, Koepka and Rahm and, you know, some of these guys, Cam Smith. You know, I mean, I just think, I've made this point before, but In sports, monopolies actually work. You know, as popular as the NFL is and as popular as pro football is, a rival league couldn't make it. And the leagues, you know, these spring leagues now are not rivals. They're not, you know, they're meant to be additive. But back in the day, you know, the USFL was a rival, you know, and Herschel Walker couldn't play in the NFL and the USFL. So it hurt the NFL to not have you, Herschel Walker, or Doug Flutie, or who else? Jim Kelly, I guess. You know, I know I'm bringing people back in time here, but, you know, it's the same thing. Like, do we not want to have Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy in the same tournaments? You know, and that's what we've got right now.
Yeah. Bob Herrick joining us here. It's come up on 3:45 here in Eastern Iowa. Next week, you guys head to Louisville for the PGA Championship, the second major of the year. Valhalla will be the host for the fourth time. It is, officially in the rotation as far as the PGA. PGA of America loves going to Louisville. It's a very exciting course. It's had three really intriguing championships over the years. You go back, to 96, and that was a playoff. Mark Brooks won. That is not the one that people remember the most. People remember probably the duel between David and Goliath with Tiger and Bob May, and then in the gloaming with Rory hitting shots into the 72nd hole. It's had a great short history.
It has, yeah. You know, obviously those last two are really big. And it's funny. It's funny to think that that was Roy's last one. His last major in 2014. I think you would have had a hard time convincing anybody then that 10 years down the road, when the PGA returns to Valhalla, that Roy wouldn't have a fifth or a sixth or a seventh major. That he's been stuck on that number for all these years. And then, of course, 2000, you know, that was an epic time in golf with Tiger. You know, he won his third straight major, which hadn't been done since Ben Hogan in 1953, coming off a 15-shot win at the U.S. Open and a 8-shot win at the Open at St. Andrews. And then he goes to Valhalla and gets in a tussle with, you know, a guy who was, you know, fairly unknown in Bob May, who never did win on the PGA Tour, you know, but he took Tiger to extra holes and then obviously went on to win the Tiger Slam with the Masters the following spring. But it's just it was a remarkable time in Tiger's career. He was just so incredible back then. And, he'll be going back. I mean, it's not the same Tiger, obviously, but it's just kind of neat that all these years later, he'll be back playing at that major at Valhalla.
Well, Bob, the only thing that might stop Scotty Scheffler is his wife. What's the latest there?
Yeah, you know, I'd heard some rumblings they might have had the baby, but it's not official. Man, if I'm him, I'm going to I don't mean to make light of it, okay? You know, this is real world stuff, but you know, maybe they might want to try to induce here so that he can get on with getting to the PGA Championship next week. I mean, it starts a week from today. And while I'm sure he's been practicing at home and stuff, you know, he wants to be there for sure. Obviously, he wants to spend some time with his newborn. So, if they haven't had the baby yet, it sort of makes you wonder like how next week might go. In a way, it could be good for them, you know, because a distraction like that is good. It can sometimes be good for your golf. He's had nothing else to worry about in terms of his golf game. His golf game is great. So, but I have not heard anything officially on that, and we're getting to that point where, man, you kind of wonder like where that stands and how that might impact things next week.
Yeah, certainly it's a wide open. Brooks Koepka, of course, the defending champion. Maybe we'll see a story like Mr. Block again, who is in the field, by the way, without having to go through the PGA of America, the PGA Professionals Tournament, but. I don't know. I think this is about as wide open as any major going in that I've seen coming down the line in a while.
Yeah, I mean, Scotty's still going to be a big favorite, but you have to wonder, given his personal situation, you know, he would have normally probably played this week. Brooks had obviously just came off a win, but he had a terrible Masters. Rahm's been a little bit off. Rory's showing some form here. You know, other than Scheffler, this has been a strange year for the big guys. They've just not done much. You know, I mean, Schauffele hasn't won. Cantlay hasn't won. Wyndham Clark has one win, but I don't know that we consider him a big guy yet. Rory hasn't won on the PGA Tour until he won the team event with Shane Lowry. You know, and that was a nice boost for him. But until then, it had been bleak. You know, Spieth hasn't won. Justin Thomas has struggled. So, like, it's been, other than Scheffler, it's been kind of odd. And so, you know, I said going to the Masters, we kind of need the stars to step up. And I thought they did. You know, Morikawa was up there. Obviously, Ludwig Ober got in the mix. Max Homa was in the mix. And Scheffler ends up winning. That was good. You know, it'd be nice if we had that same thing at the PGA.
Would be nice. And what do you think about that course before we let you go? I know the PGA of America likes it. They're going to go there a lot for the championship. And it's, like I said, it's had a Ryder Cup there as well. It's a risk-reward paradise, I think, that they're going to be playing next week.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it is in May. You know, it's been in August when the weather's been really hot. You get a lot of thunderstorms. You know, the weather should be a little cooler. I'm wondering how it's going to play. You know, it would be nice if it were a little bit play. It sounds to me like it's long. You know, Justin Thomas went there earlier this week and talked about having a lot of mid irons into greens, which is very unusual these days, you know, to be hitting 4 and 5 irons into greens. So it sounds like it's going to play long, and we're going to have a little bit of rain earlier in the week, which will make it long, and hopefully not too soft, though. And, you know, I think we're in for a good one.
Sounds good. Hey, keep up the great work, Bob. Always good checking in with you, and try to do so before you head down to Pinehurst coming up for the U.S. Open. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Take care.
You bet. Bob Herrig joining us live from Charlotte, North Carolina, and Quail Hollow as Rory McIlroy has taken over the lead. He's at -5 over a whole bunch of good players at -4, including Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa. 3:52, and we need to get somebody signed up and into the drawing for the 4 tickets to the Indianapolis 500, which we will have the drawing for on Monday. We have Kevin from yesterday. He is in the drawing. We got somebody coming up tomorrow, and we're going to get somebody signed up right now. 319-366-1600. That is the phone number, 319-366-1600. And we will take the first correct answer. And again, like we talked about yesterday, please only call in if you know you can use the tickets. If you have Memorial Day free, and you can go to the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. So 319-366-1600. And our question for today is this. This is the 108th edition of the Indianapolis 500 coming up 2 weeks from Sunday. We are asking which American driver won the 100th edition of the Indianapolis 500. Who won the 100th edition of the Indianapolis 500? 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And if you are the correct caller with the correct answer, you will go into the drawing for the Indianapolis 500 tickets. Again, who won the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500? We'll have our winner, and we'll let you know the answer when we come back.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Madame Giselle senses a change in your future.
Is it a promotion?
I see a door opening.
Ooh, through a corner office?
There's a creature. Beady eyes, lots of hair.
Is it my boss, Dave?
No, raccoons everywhere. Your RV door is open, and they're chewing everything.
Not a problem. I'm covered by Progressive. Do you see a bigger paycheck?
Customize your coverage with Progressive's Pest Damage Protection and be prepared for the unexpected. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pest Damage Protection available for RVs less than 6 years old. $250 deductible applies to any claim.
Evan Cohen here from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio for True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Back with you to wrap things up here in a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. We've got a winner, and we will find out who that is and the answer to our trivia question with Andrew coming up here in just a couple of moments. Coming up tomorrow, Mark, we are going to have a Friday topic for you. We'll also take a look at the weekend coming up in the world of sports, and we will give you our topic coming up here in just a moment. Andrew, who is our winner?
Our winner is Steve.
Steve, congratulations. Yes. And he came up with the correct answer, which is?
It's Alexander Rossi.
Alexander Rossi, who won going about 100 miles per hour across the finish line in the 100th running of the Indy 500. It was quite bizarre. He had great fuel conservation and won basically crawling at 100 miles per hour, if that is crawling. Do not translate that into S-curve driving on I-380, ladies and gentlemen. That is not crawling in any way, shape, or form. So thank you, Steve, and thanks to everybody that called in. We'll have one more chance for you to get entered into the drawing for the four Indianapolis 500 tickets, and that'll be coming up tomorrow. Mark, Good Friday topic, I think. It's a topical topic, if you will, that we are going to ask our listeners to comment on tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we're going to go with which athlete, or maybe a figure in sports, I don't know, whichever direction you want to go, would you most like to see roasted? This follows on the heels of the Tom Brady roast.
Nothing like the Dean Martin roasts of old, by the way. And if you know, if you are of a certain age, you remember watching on network television, mind you, the Dean Martin roasts. Mark, you remember that, right?
Classic.
They were great. They would not be anywhere near network television in this day and age, but they were a lot of fun back in the 1970s. But which sports figure or sports athlete would you like to see on the dais being roasted? We will talk about that for our Friday topic coming up tomorrow, and looking forward to talking with the folks of Eastern Iowa about that. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. Andrew, thank you for the help. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. Mm-hmm. All right. And Mark, we'll talk with you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here for a Thursday on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming your way next.
Around here at Wrangler, we are all excited for spring. The longer days, the warmer nights. When you've got your pick of shorts and